We are following reaction in this country and around the world to last night's U.S. missile strike on a Syrian airfield. We'll get to the mixed feelings on Capitol Hill in a moment. But right now we're joined by NPR National Security Editor Phil Ewing. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Jeremy.
And what do we know at this point about whether the missiles did what they were aimed to do? For instance, were the runways at this airbase destroyed?
We don't have a lot of information about the conditions of the runway specifically. Defense officials were saying last night those were not among the targets at the Syrian airbase. What we do know from the Pentagon is that they believe they destroyed about 20 Syrian warplanes, as well as the hardened shelters that they used to try and protect them from air attack and fuel and air defense systems and the support equipment that you need to run an airbase and be able to launch aircraft. The Pentagon says it took as many precautions as it could not to hit people. However, so we believe there may have been fewer than about a dozen who might have been killed in this attack, although defense officials say they're still doing what they call a bomb damage assessment of how this went.
And does it appear that the Syrians were warned before the attack, potentially by their allies, the Russians, who were warned by the U.S.?
That's entirely possible. And in fact, that may have been the goal of the United States military in planning this attack, because the Defense Department was not trying to kill a lot of people if it could avoid that. And in fact, it has to work in a very kind of narrow alley of options between sending a message to the regime of Syrian President Bashar Assad and the Russians and the world, but also not taking such an aggressive and such an overt forceful action that it created a crisis of escalation with the Syrians. And so by telling the Russians who were on this airbase that something was in the works, they very likely told their Syrian hosts, and they very likely took whatever preparations they needed to get out of the way. But this was also at almost 4 o'clock in the morning local time, so it was probably pretty sleepy there anyway.
Meanwhile, what more do we know about the apparent chemical attack earlier this week in Syria that motivated this strike? The Associated Press is now reporting that U.S. military officials are investigating whether or not Russia was involved.
That's right. It was up in Idlib province above the Syrian airbase where this American missile attack took place. And what defense officials at the Pentagon said today is they aren't sure for their part whether Russia played a role. But it raised a lot of eyebrows after the attack was revealed and the now infamous stomach-churning video and TV pictures came out of it by saying maybe it wasn't the Syrians or maybe it was a false flag or Assad had no reason to launch such an attack. And using that kind of counter-message and propaganda, if you will, about what took place, definitely had a lot of people in the West very skeptical about what the Russians might have known and potentially what role they might have played, although we don't have solid answers about that yet.
Phil, just from a policy perspective, this was a major shift in Trump's thinking about Syria. Let's listen here to White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer speaking just last week.
With respect to Assad, I mean, there is a political reality that we have to accept in terms of where we are right now. We lost a lot of opportunity the last administration with respect to Assad. And I think that our restatement that UN Ambassador Haley gave yesterday reflects the reality that it is now at to the Syrian people. I mean, we had an opportunity, and we need to focus on now defeating ISIS.
That seemed to signal a shift that the U.S. was no longer demanding that Assad leave power. But then here's President Trump last night.
Years of previous attempts at changing Assad's behavior have all failed and failed very dramatically. As a result, the refugee crisis continues to deepen and the region continues to destabilize, threatening the United States and its allies.
What is the U.S. stance right now on whether Assad should stay in power in Syria?
Well, the administration's position, as we heard from Spicer in the press conference from the clip you played, was that he can stay. But then we heard yesterday and the days before from the president and Secretary of State Rex Tillerson saying that they were reassessing that or that his future was unclear. And at this moment, as we're talking, I'm not sure anyone knows what the exact U.S. outlook on this is, except for the president, because he seems to be moving and changing position as the hours pass. We don't know, for example, whether this was just a one-off shot to send a message to Assad and send a message to the world, or whether this will augur some kind of bigger U.S. or international campaign to try to change the regime there. That would be a huge difference from the position Trump has taken before, and certainly his rhetoric as a presidential candidate when he was very critical of his predecessor Barack Obama and the general U.S. philosophy of the last 20 or so years about these engagements in the Middle East. If he starts to go down that road, that will be a big shift indeed. Right now, everyone is watching to see what happens in terms of military action or other big pronouncements from the Trump administration about this crisis in Syria.
That's NPR National Security Editor Phil Ewing. Phil, thank you.
Thank you.